We're continuing the Festival of a Thousand Stories theme today on Outback Mornings. So joining us right now in the studio is an author who's launching his book today in Bourke over at the Bourke Library. We should welcome Tony Pritchard to the program. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Mel. Thank you very much. And it's a wonderful festival.
Oh, it is fantastic. We've had Hully and some of the Frank Pover and a few others, story writing, of course, Graham Gibson, and also Joy McKean joining us as well, which is unbelievable. It has been great for the community of Bourke, don't you think?
Yeah, it has been. And I've been to the stuff at the port, and I did the Poets Trek the last couple of days. That was quite amazing.
Yeah, everybody that says they get involved with the Poets Trek just comes back completely. I suppose they don't expect it to be as powerful as it can be.
I think that's what it is. And everyone, we all talked, and it was so, it was professionally done, it was friendly, brilliant music, poetry, and I think reflecting on your own life and how you fit in and stuff. That's what I got out of it.
So you're launching a book, and it's the title of this book is Drifting Down the Darling, and I have a copy of it in my hot little hands. Guess what I'm doing this weekend? Can we talk about this book? How did it all start?
Well, I'm a Dubbo boy from way back, and I went down the Darling for about six different reasons. Been over this in the 70s, I did this trip. I drifted for nearly 18 months in a flat bottom boat, no motor, no oars. I just drifted, and the 70s were wet years, so the river was up and down. But I left home. I'd been overseas for a couple of years, and I came back to Dubbo and just didn't seem to fit in. So anyway, I ran away from home, basically. Couldn't play football anymore, couldn't do my trade. My mum had died some years before, and it took me about 10 years to face that. So that's in the book. So the book is the adventure of the Darling, which is incredible in itself. But it's looking for meaning or a place because I was so confused, and it's a love story as well. I met a girl in Bourke.
Really?
apparently it's full of fiction. I read that.
Yeah, no, I saw that in the local paper, full of fiction. Not one bit.
I got to find out who wrote that.
So the Darling River itself, I'm a Bourke girl. I absolutely love the river that I've lived on my entire life. Are there sections of the Darling River? I'm sure you didn't just float down and you haven't just floated the river once. Are there parts that just truly stay with you forever?
Yeah, yes, there is, and that changes. I've done 10 trips now. Oh. The flat bottom boat, I also did a tour of Will Canyon 78. That was a mistake for a lot of reasons. But I've got a canoe now, which is with me on the back of the ute, and every year I do 400 or 500 Ks. But what I get, you're right, there's different bits. But each year, those different bits get better. They change.
Yeah, right.
Because I've had people say, well, but the Darling River, it's the same all the way down. You look at it like Sturt did.
Yep.
And it is. It winds. It's got the Red River gums on the inside, sandy beaches, and you've got the cooler bars, and you've got the black box Blome and Indy. But every bend is different. And when I say that to people, they either go, yep, I get that, or they go, you're nuts.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I truly get it.
Well, this year I paddled from Louth to Tilpa, and the clover is like thigh, waist high.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before, and it's brown, dirty colour because of
the water,
but I still drank it. It's fine.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So the book itself, by sitting down and writing about all this so-called fiction, did it help to be able to sit and put pen to paper and go back and reminisce about the journey that you did take, do you think, has it helped you, and do you believe that it might help others by reading it?
It'll help everyone who reads, especially if they buy one today. yes, it did. I retired from school teaching in 2010, pardon me, to write the book. I always wanted to write it since I was about two.
Yep.
And I blame my Miss Hogan at Dubbo West Public School for that. She just ruined my life completely with words and that language. Totally ruined me, which is wonderful. It took me 5 years to write it. And that process, I went to an independent publisher, not self-publishing, independent. I couldn't do it myself. I'd go nuts.
Yeah.
Life's too tough for me to do that.
Yep.
I had a traditional publisher interested, but they take too long. And I get like about $2 a book.
Yep.
This way I get $2.50 a book.
Oh,
so
well.
I'm winning. Yeah. That's it. Yes, it has. I learnt so much stuff in the 70s on the Darling that I'm still carrying through, as in attitude to life, gratitude, simple things.
Yeah.
But after I finished the trip, I lived in the Macquarie Marshes for nearly a year. And there were floods, and all the ibis nested, and the egrets and Nankin night herons, and it was like a boy's own manual for a bird watcher like me. And everything came together. The whole trip, it all came together. A few things unravelled, I might mention, in my mind, but it's all right. Yeah. I'm the normal one.
Yeah, right.
So that was it. So I realised, and I actually wrote to my dad and told him I loved him.
Yeah.
Because my mum had died, and it was the first time I'd faced that.
Yeah.
So it's, I open out, and I've had some phone calls from people saying, look, you've got this, you really open out this self-disclosure, emotional stuff, and you go into this crazy, idiotic humour straight after it. Mm. And I said, well, that's how I live life.
And is that how you dealt with it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it was. Yeah. But I avoided it. All emotions were avoided for about 10 years. Mm. I mean, I got on with life and I did stuff, but I couldn't face it. And, when I did, it was amazing. I highly recommend everyone have a breakdown. It's wonderful.
Yeah, okay.
They're now called spiritual awakenings, I believe.
Oh, are they?
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Okay.
But when you hit the floor, it's
clears
the mind.
Wow. So the launch itself today, you must be extremely excited about it. Well, you should be.
I'm nervous. I get nervous.
Right.
I've done Meet the Author stuff in Brisbane at libraries, and I've done school. I'm a school teacher, so I'm used to just telling lies in front of people.
Yeah.
So, but when I get really, I'm nervous now, but what happens once I start, you know, if you want me to, if I'm talking, you want me to stop at, say, 12 o'clock, you'll let me know at 11:30, so I slow down.
Yeah, right.
I was at Collaroy above Brewarrina in the shearing shed in the 70s, and it was my first wool shed I'd seen in action.
Yeah.
And the overseer fellow, he was just straight-faced. He said, look, see that guy over there? He's the ringer. And he said, when the bell rings for Smoko, he's going so fast, he shears four sheep before he can stop. I believed him.
But, so can I just go back? Because you floated.
Mm. Had a paddle.
A little paddle.
Yeah, no oars, no motor. I wouldn't want a motor. Well, for start, you can't have a motor. For start, where do you get petrol from?
Yeah.
Second's too noisy and smelly.
Yeah.
And like now, even then, like now in the canoe, I'd be paddling around a log and there'd just be kangaroos just looking at me.
Yeah.
Because I smell the same as them probably.
Yeah.
But you go around the corner, there'd be wood ducks there. They freeze with their babies, like a freeze frame in a museum.
Wow.
Because they have no idea what you are sitting low in this canoe.
Yeah, okay.
So it's quiet. That's the main reason. Quiet.
All right, but I'm going to have to be a typical mum right now and ask the simple question.
Yeah.
You were floating on a river for 18 months?
Not quite. Yeah.
So did you happen to, you know, stop and, you know, come across some homesteads and, you know, go and, you know, get a decent meal or were you just living, were you doing the whole Bear Grylls thing and, you know, catching fish and eating them raw?
All of the above. I got to Tilpa, for example, and Fred Davison was the postmaster there, a lovely, lovely man. And I found out that he knew exactly where I was all the way down. Not checking up on me for safety, which locals will help you, but he was delivering my mail. And I'd get to a station and they'd say, oh, we got something for you, and bring out a package of mail. And if I didn't call in there, two things would happen. They would pass the mail to the next one.
Yeah.
And I got into Tilpa and I got people, Fred gave me a house to stay in. And I got people banging on the door and they said, listen, where you didn't call in. Why didn't you call into our station? And I don't know.
Gee.
So, yes, I was welcomed.
Yeah.
Some amazing stories happened. Only half of them are in the book.
Yeah.
But, in the 70s I had a rifle and anything that wasn't nailed down I shot and ate it.
Right.
I even hitchhiked with the rifle over my shoulder. Now, the other day I was walking down the wharf here and there was a drone flying over. I think I was looking, just making sure I didn't...
have that rifle?
Can you imagine hitching with a rifle over, all through Crinder and...
Not these days.
No, you just... No, I don't have a rifle now.
No, but that's what I mean, but not in today's world.
Mm.
That would not be...
No, not applicable.
But back then?
Oh, yeah. And I was told, the cocky said to me, you see any goats, you shoot them. Just get rid of them. We don't want them. I probably wouldn't do that these days.
Oh, God, no. They're worth, what, $55?
Oh, 70 I heard yesterday.
Yeah, that's a nice pair of shoes there.
Yeah.
That's what I always see.
Where do you get shoes for $70?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they're good cheap ones, put it that way. Listen, Tony, I look forward to going home and reading this on the weekend, and I want all of our listeners to read it as well. So here we go. This is the big spill. You know, go for it. Sell it for us.
Oh, okay.
If people can't get to the library, they need to be able to get copies of this. Mm. So where can they go? Mm.
Go to Amazon.
Oh, easy.
Yeah. It's I went through an independent publisher, and there's some scams out there, by the way. The ones I went through in Moshpit, they're not. They were just brilliant. They're so supportive. They even done my website. They're just brilliant. So the deal was, you pay the money, they format it, and I get an American tax file number, etc. It's on Amazon. If you don't put it on Amazon, it's also ebook and every digital device on the planet, you get it for a couple of dollars. I think Amazon have got it for $14 American at the moment, which is about $150 Australian. Mm-hmm. And then on your postage on top of that, so just mortgage the house.
Yeah.
Phil's got some out the info centre. I sell them for $15 when I do a talk.
Right.
So it's on Amazon. Fishpond have got it for $24 Australian postage paid. I've seen a few bookshops in Brisbane.
So, okay, instead of there's, you know, there's going to be old Joe sitting at home going, I want to know more about this silly bugger that, you know, floated down the Darling. I would probably tell you to give us a call here at the radio station because it's the kind of book that I'm 100% happy to support and give the information out and get they can get onto the Back Burke Exhibition Centre and we can go from there for you because I am really looking forward to it. Are you a photographer as well? No? Or?
Well, yes and no. In the 70s, 35mm film.
Yeah.
Because in the 70s, when you first started taking, just before the 70s, black and white, you can develop in Dubbo.
Yeah.
If you wanted colour, they were sent to Melbourne, and they said, well, you're an arty freak. I said, what are you doing colour?
Yeah.
And in the 70s, all the colour labs came out.
Yep.
And so if you wanted black and white, they had to send them to Melbourne. They said, what are you, arty freak or something, doing black and white? So you sort of got a bit confused. I couldn't afford to get them all printed. I got the negatives developed, like billions of them, and I filed them.
Right.
With the f-stop, the light speed, I'm a little bit... You know, I'm the first list person ever invented.
Right.
No one else has done.
No one else has done this lodge and be able to do them.
It wasn't the Romans or the Greeks. I started lists. No. Yeah.
So when you float now or go in your canoe, I'm sure you've got a smartphone.
Yes and no. Well, in 2012, about 12, I got a solar panel.
Right.
So it's got a 12-volt battery with LED lights.
And I've got about an upgrade.
Oh, man, I had a kerosene lamp in the 70s. How on earth anybody survived? They are the most craziest. Yeah, I've got a smartphone. Does the coverage. I go to trees and make trunk calls.
You don't need... Please tell me you don't use the GPS.
No, I don't know what that means. No.
But do you take more photos now than you did back then?
No. Got a digital camera and the phone, of course. I've got stacks of photographs.
Yeah.
But the photographs, I hadn't had them printed in the 70s. I couldn't afford it. So when I retired from teaching, I bought a scanner, didn't I?
Oh.
I had my own. I still haven't seen half my photographs.
Wow.
And I put them through. And got my journals,
which
I wrote, I've got about 50 million books. And it took me a year to even stop looking at photographs. Did I really do that? Did I go there? So I think I've got some bird photographs from the marshes, and I think they're brilliant. But in today's world photography, they're not. They're horrible.
Yeah, right.
But I was waist high in the reeds dodging brown snakes to get a picture of a swamp hen, which is out of focus. But to me, it means everything. And I think that's what photography should be to people.
That's it.
Unless you're a professional, you want to sell them. But
when's the next book?
It's with the editor as we speak.
I knew it. As soon as you said just then about lists and your journals,
I
knew there would be the follow-up. Is it a follow-up or is it just something completely...
I want to do a book a year between now until I fall off my perch.
Good.
Which is I'm not going to die because I'm going to live forever.
Well done.
Yeah, I got
so
that.
So there's another 80-plus years worth of books.
This one is... I paddled from Menindee to Wentworth in 2010 on a low river, very low. That was my return. I thought I'd done with the Darling because I lived next to rainforest for 14 years. I've been to 17 different countries. I've done bucket loads of stuff. I got back here in 2010 and I realised I'd been very wrong.
Right.
There's only one place to go to in the world and that's the Darling River.
Right.
I went down in 2011 on the flood over the banks. I rode it down. 2012 the same. They released 7,000 megs in a day. And I went looking for God.
Did you find him?
If you pay me $15 in the book, I'll tell you.
The book will tell
you. No, the next one. No, this is the next one.
Right.
So it's adventure, but it's not looking for religious God. It's just looking for the meaning of life, universal. Yeah. Is there stuff? What is it made of? So that was the next dilemma that I continued from that book.
I get in my car and go for a drive, for instance, because, you know, long distances around here, and I overthink again.
Yeah.
Is that the whole experience for you?
Oh, overthink,
out of this?
And there's some days what I do, I don't think.
Yeah.
I just hop in the canoe and I just paddle twice to get going in the current and I sit there and I do not think.
Yep.
And it's really, it's unusual for me not to do that because I drive myself nuts.
Would you encourage anybody to do what you've done? As the extreme way you've done it, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, but no, it's not extreme.
Should someone just buy a canoe tomorrow and just go for a bit of a float for the weekend?
I think that'd be brilliant.
Right.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. But as Viktor Frankl said, we all make meaning. It's a different meaning. Some yep. people do this, some do that.
Yeah.
If I don't drink the Darling River water each year, I start to get the shakes. I don't know.
You sure you're not a local?
Oh, I'm a Dubbo, West Dubbo. Don't tell anyone.
Yeah, but look, do you hyperventilate as you drive over the levee bank?
Yeah. So I start. I do.
You could almost.
I can smell the river.
Oh, nothing better.
I know.
Nothing better. Tony, I can't thank you enough for coming in and just having this very simple conversation about a beautiful book. And I'll get your number and I'll make a point of giving you a call and giving you my my full support, I'm sure.
Thank you.
An overview of the book, because it looks great. And I hope everybody gets out there to get a copy of it, because the Darling River just is all throughout our listening area. So there's plenty of people out there that would like to know more about drifting on the Darling River.
Thank you, Mel. 11 o'clock today at the library.
Wonderful.
Thank you
very
much.
Thank you.